Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Our text this morning is taken from two scriptures, and they are short ones. We read first from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7, and then James 4, verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7. I want us to take it in KJV, King James. Give us King James translation. Then after that, we take James chapter 4, verse 6. Give us King James. Okay, can we all read together? Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Hallelujah. Can you cry grace, grace to your neighbor? Grace. Grace unto you. Hallelujah. James chapter 4, verse 6. Okay. Can we read James chapter 4, verse 6 together? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Prayer for more grace. The Bible has so much to say about the grace of God. And there are at least 169 references to the grace of God in the Old and New Testament. It will amaze you that the Old Testament also has a lot to say about the grace of God. It was fully realized in the New Testament. Apostle Paul alone talked about this theme at least 80 times in his letters. And the reason is simply because Paul encountered God's grace on the road to Damascus. And for every letter that he wrote, he will start his introductory message by saying to the church, grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you. Paul had an experiential knowledge of the grace of God. I want to encourage you, after the service, take time to do a deeper study about this subject. What is grace? Commonly referred to as what? Unmerited favor. Kindness of God, goodwill of God towards his creation. The Hebrew word for grace is chen. That means grace, means favor. It's charis in Greek, and it's also talking about grace, graciousness. W.F. Kumuyi, that most of us know, defines grace as God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches towards us, but at the expense of who? Of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross at Calvary. I see grace as a supernatural supplement for daily revitalization. Grace also means supernatural strength to do the extraordinary. In other words, when the grace of God comes upon a man's life, he will do the unusual. It will do that is beyond human comprehension. Dimension of God's grace. God's grace is boundless. God's grace is endless. It is limitless. God's grace is inexhaustive. And that is why, for how many years now, you come to church, at the end of every service, we say, let's do what? Let's share the grace in fellowship. Since how many years you have been sharing the grace? Has grace depleted? Has it finished? I'm not hearing of this side. Has grace finished? Can it ever be exhausted? No way. So this morning, we're going to be tapping into the grace of God afresh in Jesus' name. What should be our response to the grace of God? We must have a positive attitude towards God's grace. 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul said to Timothy, "Thou, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We are to grow in grace, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. We must not receive God's grace in vain, and we must not frustrate the grace of the Almighty God. Section D is our focus of concentration, and I want to start talking about the benefits of God's grace. In Ephesians 2, verse 5 and 8, the Bible expressly says that we are saved by grace through what? Through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. The first thing grace will do in any man's life is to grant him salvation from sin. And that is why we sang Amazing Grace this morning, written by John Newton. When the grace of God appeared to John Newton, he abandoned slave trade and he led the whole nation to abolish that slave trade business. Until the grace of God appeared to you at this level of salvation, you may not have access to the other dimension of God's grace. Hallelujah. Can we read Titus chapter 2? Titus chapter 2, verse 15. Not verse 1. Titus 2, verse 15. Titus.
Is that Titus?
Titus 2, verse 11, rather. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Hallelujah. That means the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to every one of us. But it now depends on how you respond to it. If this morning you're in church, you are yet to accept Jesus into your life as Savior and Lord, what you are doing is that you are turning your back on the grace of God. Say, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, has been revealed to all men, is shining towards all men, but all men need to acknowledge that grace and accept it into their lives. Grace also provides divine enablement for accomplishment more than our fellows. The difference between one man of God to another man of God doing great things for the kingdom of God is the amount of God's grace upon their lives. Grace can enable you to do, to accomplish more than your fellows, more than your colleagues. The grace of God will divinely transform you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. When you encounter the grace of God, there will be transformation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Say, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. If not for the grace of God, nobody would have known Paul. It was the grace of God that transformed him from a sinner to a saint. It was the grace of God that picked him up from where he was and made him an apostle to the Gentiles. When the grace of God comes into your life, it will not leave you where it met you. Rather, it will take you higher. Hallelujah. You know, those days when people give their life to Christ, people look at them and begin to pity them. Say, your own don't finish. When you say you are born again. I remember when I gave my life to Christ, my parents were not comfortable with the idea. Even the same church. Because the thinking that time is that everyone that is born again is an SU. And SU people, they don't make progress in life. They can come one day and say, God has told me to leave school. I'm not going to school again. So my parents felt that it was over. And he gathered his key friends and they summoned me to a meeting. And the only request they were making from me is to say, don't be born again. You are shaking your head. Until you see the grace of God, you can't understand what grace could do. I lost my younger brother some years ago. My dad never wept. The only time I see him cry was the day he was begging me with his friends not to be born again. He shed tears. Because the understanding is that once you are born again, you are useless forever. But I've come to know that when the grace of God comes into a man's life, that grace will not leave you where you are. Rather, the grace of God will take you higher and higher and higher. And today, my parents have a different testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, by the power of God's grace, God is raising you higher and higher. God is taking you higher and higher. When eventually my dad, now God, opened his eyes to and gave his life to Christ, his own was even more than those of us that he met. That's what grace does. If you're in church this morning, you're wondering, if I become a Christian, my own is, no, I'm done for. It's a lie of the devil. The light of God will not shine upon your life and keep you in darkness. When the grace of God appears in a man's life, the grace of God will take him beyond his highest dream and highest expectation. And I want to thank God that I gave my life to Christ, that I'm born again. I've never had any regret one day. Praise the Lord. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Can I also announce to you this morning or remind you that whatever you have today is by what? By grace. Not necessarily by your effort. Some people say that I'm a self-made man. When you hear people say, I'm a self-made man, that person may not last. But today, you are a grace-made person. Hallelujah. Number four, grace will enable you to do what you think you do not have the capacity or capability to accomplish. In Zechariah 12:10, the Bible talks about the spirit of prayer and supplication, spirit of grace and supplication. When that grace comes upon a man's life in the place of prayer, you will pray like you have never done before. God's assignment, you'll be able to undo it without any stress. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number five, the grace of God will enable you to complete your assignment. The grace of God will help you to do what? Complete your assignment. In other words, when the grace of God comes upon a man's life, there's nothing called abandoned project. When you start something, the grace of God will help you to finish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at the passage we read earlier from Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7. So he said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, almighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you become level ground. Hallelujah. NIV now says, then it will bring out the capstone to shout off, God bless it. God bless it. King James used the word grace. Grace unto you. When you talk about the capstone, what is the capstone in a building? I know we have a lot of engineers in church, builders. So when you talk about the capstone, which part of the building or what does it indicate? I think I saw Engineer Uton. Where do you normally put the capstone? Foundation. Okay. Then, once you lay the foundation, the last block you put before you start roofing is the capstone. What does that signify? That this project has reached the stage where we can now do what? We can roof. Completion. Let me say again, child, this morning, if you have a project that has remained to finish, you have struggled to complete, all you need this morning is to receive God's grace and go back to that structure, stand where it is, and proclaim grace, grace to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember going to pray with one of the members in the church early this year, I think during the fasting and praying, about the project started for some time now and the project refused to be completed. And I had cause to drive around that area yesterday. I saw that the building, they are ready for roofing, ready, they are already plastering. I said, this is what the grace of God can do. In your life, there must not be an abandoned project. Can you face your neighbor and say, receive grace for completion of every project in your life? Your own project may not be structured. It could be academics. When the grace of God come upon your life, you will not drop that program. You will not abandon it. You see some brethren, they have done 3 masters. They never complete. Open university, they are there. Close university, they know them. That will not be your story. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive the grace to complete every project in and around you in Jesus' name. Grace provides you with God's help in the time of your need. The grace of God will open the door of divine help to you in critical moments of need. Can we read from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16? Let us therefore come boldly unto what? The throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. The throne of our Father is the throne of grace. That is why no man approaches God and will not live with the gracious gift of God in his life. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Grace will enable you to be a sacrificial giver. The grace of God, when it comes upon a man's life, enables him to give to God sacrificially. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's see the example of a local church that demonstrated this truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We read from verse 1 to 7. Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthians here to challenge them in the aspect of giving and receiving. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Now, you have two churches being talked about, the Macedonian churches and the church in Corinth. Whereas the church in Corinth was doing well in other areas, like you see in verse 7. It says, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace also. The church in Corinth, they were doing wonderfully well in other areas of life. But when it comes to giving, it was a problem for them. And so Paul was using the Macedonian churches as example for them to emulate. The Macedonian church, they were going through severe trial, extreme poverty. Verse 3, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. This church gave sacrificially, they gave generously. There are different types of giver in the Bible. We have generous givers, like Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, who offered to the Lord 1,000 burnt offering, and God blessed him exceedingly. We also have stingy givers who give reluctantly. Reluctant givers, cheerful givers, sacrificial givers. So which type of giver are you? Let me ask your neighbor, which department are you? Sacrificial giver or stingy giver? As your neighbor giving you a response, get a response from your neighbor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what did your neighbor say? What was her response? Are you a sacrificial giver? Truly. The only person that knows your record this morning is who? As somebody say, Ikoyi Baptist Church does not need my money. Let those, some people continue to give. That is not correct, isn't it? Giving is mandatory for all believers. And giving is an opportunity for you to receive from God. It's an opportunity for you to demonstrate your love for the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But to give sacrificially requires grace. That at any point in time, you can give whatever you have, you can part with it without struggle. Some of us, before God can collect kobo from your hand, before your one kobo, even God will put you to sleep. Somebody is already binding pastor now. Say, I don't know where this pastor is going this morning. It's not fundraising we came for. is church service. I bind you, pastor. You will not do fundraising. I lose myself in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reason why some don't give in churches. They say, when we give them the money now, they'll go and buy jet. Or buy this. And you know, by the grace of God, IBC is not like that. Our money is kept safe, kept intact, and is being used judiciously. So I want to encourage you this morning, be faithful to God in your tithing, in your offering. Go the extra mile in giving. Let God be your priority in your giving. And the Lord will bless you mightily in Jesus' name. Recently, I think one of our church council meetings, our attention has been called to the fact that our giving has dropped. And you know, the convention president was here, it was in April or May, to announce the result that we are, what was our score in the convention? We are first. The way we are going now, if you don't buckle up, we may not be second, we may not be third, we may not be fourth. So let me tell your neighbor, let's start giving again. Sacrificially, let's start giving again. Generously. Let me ask your neighbor, are you owing God? Let me ask your neighbor, are you owing God? Get an answer from your neighbor. Like they do in the law court, I put it to you this morning. I do what? Thank God that my... I put it to you this morning that if you have not been paying your tithe or God's tithe regularly, you are what? You are owing God. So may you receive the grace this morning to go and begin to be faithful in the aspect of tithing. Number 8, the grace of God teaches us to live to please God. The grace of God, when it comes upon your life, your desire every time will be how to do what? How to please the Almighty God. Not to please yourself, not to please any man, but to please God. Let's go back to that Titus passage. Titus 2, verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Verse 12. It teaches us to do what? To say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. When the grace of God comes upon a man's life, the things that he used to do before, what happens to them? He will lose appetite for the things of the world. It teaches us. Grace is a teacher. Grace is an enabler. Now we're talking about the teaching aspect, the teaching dimension of the grace of God. Nobody will need to tell you that you need to drop certain characters, certain habits when the grace of God comes upon your life. Rather, you see God himself telling you, say, my son, my daughter, I'm not comfortable with this. And you will drop it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness. So when you say that you are a child of God, you are born again, you are under grace, and you live a riotous Christian life, is an aberration. Grace will teach you to say, no, I can't do this. That's what grace does. A man who has experienced God's grace will not be a worldly kind of Christian, because grace will always be teaching him or her the way forward. Number 9, grace will keep you from going into oblivion. When you talk about oblivion, you are talking about going into obscurity. Someone who has been in limelight all along suddenly just disappear into thin air, that you are not talking about him again. Let's go to Acts chapter 15 and see an event there of a man who walked out on God's grace and became irrelevant. Are you in Acts chapter 15? We shall read from verse 36 to 41. Some time later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them into the work. Verse 39, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by what? By the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. When Paul encountered Christ on the way to Damascus, and eventually the story got to the church that Saul is now a child of God, let's bring him to our midst, did they receive him? Did they receive Paul into their midst? They were still afraid. They said, "We cannot be sure of this man's salvation experience." And when Paul became frustrated, he left and went to Cyprus. It was Barnabas who went and did what? And now brought him out and brought him to Jerusalem. And they were doing God's work together. So when everybody lost faith in Saul, Barnabas was an encourager. Brought him to himself and they began to do ministry as it were. In faith, who is older? In faith between Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas was older. In Acts chapter 13, there was a call from God that Barnabas and Saul should be what? Separated unto the ministry which the Lord had called them. So chapter 13, they were sent forth and they began ministry from that chapter 13, chapter 14. Now, they have preached in many places and there was this idea that was moved by one of them that they should go back and visit all the towns where they have preached. Is there anything wrong about that? Nothing was wrong. Good idea. But there was a problem. Over who? John Mark. Barnabas, being a man with a large heart, accommodating heart, said, "No, let's take John Mark with us on this journey." But Paul said, "No, no way. John Mark that deserted us when we needed him most. He left because he was homesick. He's not going with us this time around." And two great apostles, they quarreled so much that they could not resolve it. And something happened that I want to show you this morning. And I pray that the Lord will cause it to make sense to you and I in Jesus' name. Verse 39, let's look at verse 39. They had such a sharp disagreement that they did what? They parted company. They separated. Barnabas did what? Took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to what? To the grace of the Lord. Did you see any difference between those two verses? What is the difference you observe? Barnabas was so angry that he will not even wait for the benediction. He just took John and they walked out of the meeting. And that was the day he missed it. Check your Bible from this point again. You hardly hear of Barnabas. Anytime the Bible is not talking about him after this experience, it was just a reference. Everything about him just closed up. He went into oblivion. I pray none of us become irrelevant in the scheme of things. I pray you never get to a point in your life that there are issues like this and they are trying to reconcile you and you walk out of the meeting. Barnabas took John Mark, the Bible says, and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas, left, and was commended by the brothers to the grace of God. And the next verse now says, he went through Syria and Cilicia, doing what? Strengthening the churches. Hallelujah. Finally, the grace of God will help you cope with difficult situations in life. Turning situations in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Hallelujah. Paul was a great man of God, man of great visions. In fact, when you read this chapter from verse 1, you will see Paul saying, I will go into visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, to paradise. And I heard words that were unlawful for any human being to utter. That was the kind of man that we are talking about. A man that could be in a meeting like this and is caught up to paradise and hear things that are heavenly. He was operating in the realm of visions and revelations that even the apostles who were before him did not have the privilege. And God said, we need to help Saul, help Paul, so that he will not become arrogant, become pompous. See, it is God himself. God just allowed that a messenger of Satan will affix itself to Paul, to constantly remind him that it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. To constantly remind him that, Paul, all that you are, all that you have, is simply by the grace of God. How can a man like Apostle Paul pray over a matter 3 times and God say no? God, take away this thorn from my flesh. Take away this trouble. And God will not let go. Rather, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. It is only by the grace of God you can live with certain turning situation in your life. A messenger of Satan was given me to torment me. Despite this, Paul never gave up. What are the thorns in your own life? What are the things that you are struggling with now? What are those things that you have prayed over and over and over? God, take it away. You fasted. And it seems nothing is happening. Can God be telling you this morning, my son, my daughter, just rely on my grace. Difficult marriage. Packing out of your husband's house or abandoning your wife is not the solution. Can you ask God for more grace? You know, requiring talk about EGR in purpose-driven life. How many of us have read Purpose-Driven Life? There are some people that requiring described in that book as EGR, extra grace required. To relate with them, to live with them, to do things together with them, what do you need? Not just ordinary grace. You need what? Extra grace required. So even in marriage, you need extra grace to cope with difficult marriages. Have challenges with difficult children, difficult boss. You have this boss at work that is just a problem. Nothing you do that will ever satisfy him. What do you need this morning to deal with the situation? Extra grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sickness that refused to go. Taking all kinds of medication. No way. You prayed, you fasted, they've anointed you with oil. The problem still persists. What do you need this morning? Extra grace. Hallelujah. I pray this morning the Lord will give us extra grace. James chapter 4, as we close. Let's conclude where we start from. James chapter 4, verse 6. We just read that first sentence. Are we there? So let's read the first sentence. But he giveth more grace. But he giveth more grace. If God wants to give grace, there must be people who will receive it. Are you ready to receive the grace of God this morning? Are you ready to receive more grace? Shall we bow heads in prayer?
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook at Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.